gentle, unruffled beat is Clouds Below Your Knees by Texas native Ray Lynch, signaling that it's Thursday, 10 p.m., and time for So What's Your Story? Hi, I'm Warren Holloman. During the daylight hours, you'll find me running a wellness program at MD Anderson Cancer Center. But on Thursday nights, I team up with the best team on the radio, Hank Rubicek, Greg Audell, Mary Edgerton, Nicole Grady, and Alondra Mejia. We bring you the only program originating in Houston devoted entirely to storytelling. And we're right here on listener sponsor 90.1 KPFT Houston. Tonight's program is pretty special. The first reason is that Ernie Turney returns once again, this time to tell us his story about a time that his family lost, of all things, a quarter, and what happened after that. We'll get to Ernie in just a moment. But first, I've got Nicole, Alondra, and Hank here with me, and we wanted to tell you the other reason tonight's show is kind of special. Hank, are you there?
I am, Warren. How are you this evening? Ernie, it's great to look forward to hearing from you again. Listen, I know it seems like we just had this a few minutes ago, but tonight kicks off our 2016 Fall Fun Drive here at KPFT. And just to remind everybody, we are an affiliate of Pacifica Radio. And we on So What's Your Story is looking for a $300 goal to help keep us powered by 90.1, an essential component of this eclectic programming here at 90.1 FM, station like no other on the dial. And as you know, in this crazy world in which tolerance and open-mindedness seem to be dissipating into thin air, this station, corporate-free, free to express and feel and think, is so very rare, Warren. And we need everybody's help out there because we are listener-sponsored. That means that for those of you who don't know us, here at So What's Your Story, eight years strong, we bring common people with uncommon stories to tell each and every week, and we do it all for you. None of us get paid for it. That's why we really need all of your help, because our tellers dig deep. They get us to feel things. If you don't want to experience the human condition out there, then please do us a favor and don't tune in, but all of you do. And that's why that we need you to give us a call at 713-526-5738, JAM KPFT right now, or go to kpft.org, then to donations, and then go ahead and scroll to So What's Your Story as the show that you designate as one of your favorites, and we're going to thank you on the air unless you say otherwise. And with the $200 donation, for those of you who are generous enough, we've got some great gifts for $200. You can have coffee with a host of your choice, and we're going to pay for it. Also, for $200, you can have a guest spot, either as a teller or as a guest host with, again, one of the hosts who will get you on and make you a star. That's what we do with all of us. We absolutely become stars. I'm surprised that there's no one out there wanting our autograph as we speak. And, of course, also for $200, we can get you a one-year membership to the Houston Storytellers Guild, the best darn storytellers group around. So we've got some great things going on. And also, we have $20. We have two tickets, $10 each, for this Tuesday's gig at the Moth, which is at Warehouse Lies. The theme is Busted. It's a great, great, great venue. We have so many wonderful friends out there. So we have some great gifts for individuals, and we just hope that you give us a call and enjoy the show. Thank you, Warren.
Thank you, Hank. I heard the phone ring just then, so
we're
good job with the pitch.
Already. You bet.
And I've also got Nicole and Alondra here, and they're both students at U of H downtown, and you all are interns on the show. You've been here for 2 or 3 months, and I wanted to just put you on the spot here and ask you to tell our listeners what KPFT means to you.
Well, KPFT, what it means to me is community, mm-hmm. and friendship and building relationships that you never thought you would have.
That's nice.
I think to me, it's just really inspiring, and it has opened my mind and heart to so many different things. These stories really have been life lessons and inspiring, as I know the listeners as well.
So community from Nicole, inspiration from Alondra.
Sounds about right.
Sounds about right.
Sure does.
Those are rather important. So that makes us feel good. Thanks for sharing that.
Thank you.
And thanks for all the work you do to make this show happen. We really appreciate it. Well, I'll be checking back in later with Hank to see how the donations are going. But now I'm ready for a story, and I think you probably are too. And so it's time to welcome our storytelling guest, Ernie. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Warren. It's good to be here.
Well, and I guess I should really say welcome back. You were on the show a couple of years ago. Hank was the host, and I actually went back into the archives and listened. It was a great show. And a couple of stories you told were your own, but you also told two of your favorites by someone else. One was Elie Wiesel, and one was Sherman Alexie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I take it those are two of your favorites?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
And curiously, what is it about their stories that draws you to them?
They are very good at writing the stories that you can just turn right around and tell them.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that's a real skill.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people can tell stories, but to be able to put that down in words and still capture the rhythm and capture the moment is rare, I think. I mean, there's a lot of good people that write a lot of good books, but they're not all able to tell the stories.
Uh-huh. And would you say their stories are, well, the ladies just used the term inspiring, community building, and powerful? What words come to mind for these stories?
Descriptive of the human situation.
Descriptive of the human situation.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's what I look for, the ones that kind of do many things, not just one.
So I'm going to ask you a theological question. My last guest was actually an Old Testament or Hebrew Bible scholar, and we talked a lot about sacred stories and all stories being sacred or not all stories sacred. What's your take on that? I mean, what's the difference between a story you might read in the Bible or in a religious tradition and just a story that you might tell or I might tell or Sherman Alexie might tell, just a regular human being? Is there some difference, or what is it that makes a story
That's
sacred?
A little bit of what I think I worked on tonight and I'm hoping to bring, because the general topic that I brought forth was finding the parables in our story.
Uh-huh.
And for me, parables are religious and spiritual and sacred, but not all stories are immediately parables.
Mm-hmm.
But they do have that transformative possibility in them.
So, for example, a story could be about riding the school bus and getting confronted by someone or beat up or something. And that's just sort of a series of events that happen. But if you can kind of see the meaning behind that,
yes,
it becomes more of a sacred story?
Yes.
Or more?
It depends how it goes. We'll get into that just in a minute here.
Okay.
Maybe we can touch upon that.
Well, I think that's probably a pretty good place then to start. You're going to tell us a story about something that was lost.
Okay.
I'm looking forward to hearing it. And actually, this is kind of a long story, so we're splitting it up into two parts. We'll do part one first.
Okay. Somebody dropped a quarter down the floor furnace. Daddy dragged out the old blue Electrolux vacuum cleaner, hooked up all the extensions on it, and spent 30 minutes cleaning it out. All this for a quarter. But the quarter was too heavy for the vacuum to pick up, and so he went out and got to his tool and got that 3-foot little grabber thing that you squeeze on one end and the little claw things come out at the other, and fished around down in there for a while and retrieved it. And I thought, why did I remember that story? Well, I was the one that got to hold the big flashlight. That's the most important job when you're looking for something, because everybody knows you can't find anything without a flashlight. Look, he said, I found the quarter. It was covered with dirt and grime. And that's in the days when a quarter could buy two cups of coffee down at the cafe. And I think that's what he did. I think he took that quarter and went to the cafe and bought he and his friend a cup of coffee. The reason I think that story has the possibility of becoming a parable is it's so much like the one that St. Luke wrote in chapter 15. When he wrote, "What woman having 10 silver coins and loses one of them does not light the lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it. And then when she finds it, she calls together all her friends, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I lost.'" When I first started this business of being in the ministry and preaching, I didn't understand then how many of the stories in my life shaped the way ministry is done, and how stories have the power to bring us together in that common denominator of being part of the human family. Like I said, I don't think all stories are parables, but I think the ones that have the possibility of redemptive power, that's what parables do. They have the possibility of changing our lives.
Thank you, Ernie. Fascinating. So it's a very mundane thing. It's a lost coin.
Right. Has no ability to be found.
No ability to be found.
So.
And yet somehow I sense that this story is about more than the power of the Electrolux vacuum cleaner that we both grew up with, obviously.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, if you're just tuning in, this is So What's Your Story? We're on 90.1 FM KPFT Houston. If you're down in Galveston, you're listening on 89.5. If you're in Livingston, you can hear us on 90.3. And you're listening to our guest storyteller, the Reverend Ernie Turney. He's telling us a story about being lost and being found. Ernie, tell us the rest of your story.
Well, when you find a coin, you have to go to the cafe and buy a coffee. It seems simple, but we really don't do that exactly that way in this day and time. Parables remind us that there's a bigger world out there. And the world that we are in, that we are not the ones in charge, which may be the reason we have so much angst in our country today. People are afraid. We feel like we're losing our place and our power, our role, and maybe even something in our society. But the power of stories, for me, is that they give us exactly those things. They give us identity and place, power, and most of all, a greater understanding of the world, and gentle reminders that we are not the ones that are ultimately in charge.
Hmm.
You want me to do another?
I'd love it. I'm wondering if I should ask you a couple of questions.
Sure.
About this one. And how long is the next one, roughly?
That 2 minutes, 3 maybe.
Okay. Why don't I ask you a couple of questions, and then we go into the next story. I want to know, now maybe this isn't fair. Maybe stories aren't supposed to have, quote, morals. Maybe they're supposed to evoke their own meanings for everybody. But what's the power of that story about the lost coin for you? The Electrolux version.
Because for me, it reflected the gospel. Mm-hmm. I mean, when I was a kid, there was no way to know.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was reading the lectionary a few weeks ago, then I thought, gee, I remember a time we lost a coin and what all we went through, having to look for it and retrieve it and all like that. And it was the two stories for me were parallel.
Yeah.
And I think that's where the narrative and the preaching comes together to proclaim the word in a way that sounds a whole lot like, I've been there, I've done that.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a story from just a long time ago. This is something that people have happened still today.
Yeah. Well, I'm still struck by what I believe Alondra said about community. How she's realized through this show that stories build communities. People who tell stories to each other begin to share common values and support each other. You talked about how I find a lost coin and I put it in the bank and now I'm rich. But that's not where that story went.
No.
It went to the coffee shop.
Yes.
And a community was built. I think that, me, that was what I heard.
Yes. And in finding the thing that is lost, there's joy.
Yeah.
And the joy is finding the thing that is lost and then sharing that thing with the community.
Right.
And when someone gets lost or something gets lost, it takes the community to go find the child or the dog or whatever it is that we are looking for.
Right.
And if we are fortunate in those stories that are sometimes tragic, that we find the thing that's lost, the community rejoices.
Yeah.
You know, whatever it is, because it's there. And that's the point that really makes that parable, is that it's not just the finding of the coin, but it is the sharing of the joy.
Right.
Afterwards.
Yeah, I that was powerful to me. The other thing, you mentioned the word identity. I don't know. I didn't know your father, but I'm thinking, you know, when we remember these little details from our youth, that it's interesting, first of all, that what we remember and what we don't. But I'm thinking you remember your father now as the one who didn't just let that quarter disappear. He tried very hard to find it.
Oh, no, it was... For him, you know, a child of the Depression,
yeah.
you don't waste money.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, yeah. And cleaning out the furnace, that was no cost to find the coin that was lost.
Oh, it reminds me very much of my father. I mean, going through old boards and pulling out the nails and straightening them and storing them in jars. And we had an entire crawl space under the house full of jars of old nails and things. But that gives me a sense of my identity. I come from a family that conserves resources.
Yes.
But then you added to that the element of family that shares resources. I thought that was pretty special.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tell us your next story.
Well, of course, not all stories are happy ones. Not all stories rejoice. Soren Kierkegaard told a story one day of when the circus came to town. And as they were setting up the tent, a fire erupted, and the ringmaster sent the clowns into the town to get help. And so the clowns ran into town and shouted and cried, "Fire, fire, the circus is on fire." And the townspeople said, "What a great idea to get everyone to come to the circus." And so they went home and gathered up their families, and they went out to the edge of town where the circus was and discovered it was burned to the ground. And they were surprised and, of course, sad. And that's where the story ended. And you think, oh, my goodness, what do you do then? And I think, you know, there's a lesson in things. And that's where we want to play with this, I guess, a little bit, is sometimes clowns are telling us the truth. They're not just there to make us laugh. Mm-hmm. And we don't always remember that. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you have to listen to people that shout fire. And I guess the little boy that cried wolf the fourth time, because mm-hmm. sometimes that really is something that's going on. Mm-hmm. Or is it that everything is not what it appears to be? And in this day and time, maybe that's the lesson we need to remember, that we need to look closely at everything that's going on and not take things just on the headline or just on the first impression, because there's usually a lot more meaning and a lot deeper story back there somewhere. And I don't think that as the culture we're doing that very well anymore.
Right. So if a person cries fire, even if they're dressed like a clown or act like a clown, they might have a good point.
Yeah.
So I guess that story for me I'm struggling with the meaning. I see the options you've laid out. I think those are right. Those are good ones. But the thing that strikes me about that story is just the visual image. The clown trying to announce a crisis. And it's so contrary to our concept of a clown that we can't hear it.
Yes. Marcel Marceau did that. Marcel Marceau did that with the mask.
Yeah.
When he had the mask on and it was happy, and then he couldn't get it off. And you would see him trying to tear the mask off, and he couldn't get it off. And and then finally, at the end, he just breaks down, and he's weeping. His shoulders are shaking, and you can tell on the inside he's just hurting. But the mask is still smiling the whole time.
Right.
I also wanted to do that because we say parables, and some people think the stories that Jesus told, and there's a lot of parables out there from a lot of different places that people have written and told that are also wonderful things.
Yeah, yeah. Excellent, excellent. Well, thank you. Thank you for that story. That has nothing to do with that song, Send in the Clowns, does it?
No.
Okay, all right. Just it's popped into my mind. I had to ask the dumb question. Okay, if you're just tuning in, this is So What's Your Story? We're on 90.1 FM KPFT Houston, and we're here with Ernie Turney, along with my co-host Hank Rubicek. Hank, are you out there still?
Right here, Warren, and I'm scared of clowns, but I still love the story. Clowns scare the hell out of me. But, you know, parables are so significant. And, Ernie, you do such a great job of talking about the power of parables. Thank you so much. Just great. We have a few people to thank out here. We've got Greg and we've got Olga for their generous donations.
Thank you so much
to the two of you. Just as a reminder, we've got some great thank you note gifts for those people who are generous enough or find it in their heart to come up with $200. We sure would appreciate that. We have a goal of $300, but a $200 donation is going to get you a coffee with one of the hosts. It's going to get you a guest spot here on So What's Your Story. It'll get you a one-year membership to Houston Storytellers Guild, which we're going to talk about in just a moment.
So we also Hank, pardon the interruption, but I just have to point out that this is a variation on Ernie's story. They supply the extra coin, and then we take them to coffee.
Oh, there you go. I like it. That's right. Very good. Very, very good. It's a true, very good variation. I guess I'm busted, which reminds me, that's the theme for The Moth on Tuesday. And we're going to give two of those tickets away, too, for $200. We've got two beautiful tickets for those. If anybody's looking for a great date night, it might be a pricey one, but one that's worthwhile.
Right. And how about next week's show?
Next week, well, we've got something very, very special. Greg is going to be hosting Miss Universe, Chelsea Smith. Whoa. How about that one? If that one doesn't get a rise out of people, I'm not sure what will. I mean, I could host myself. That might be a little more interesting. But other than that, no, I think Miss Universe wins.
No offense, Hank, but I think that will be
next.
Oh,
hold on. We got these calls coming in. Very exciting. Very exciting.
While Hank's taking the call.
Greg's taking the call.
We're good.
Yeah, we can talk. We're good.
Okay.
We're good. We're very good.
Mm-hmm. And then I understand from our mutual friend Michael Winter that you attended the Houston Storytellers Guild on Tuesday night.
I did. The Houston Storytellers Guild is a place, Warren and I have been going for years. I'm a board member, and it's a great, great place. It really is, and it's a terrific thank you gift for somebody who wants to give $200. But you know, the Houston Storytellers Guild is not only our proud sponsor, it really is, without question, one of the best storytelling groups, not only in town, because there are quite a few, but in the state. It is a fabulous, fabulous group. We've got some new digs, which is at 1805 West Alabama, which is a Haven Center at St. Stephen Church. And it is right next to the chocolate bar. So when you're done telling great stories, you can get a great root beer float. That's what I've been doing, and that's what I think I'll continue to do. It's the fourth Tuesday of every month, and we welcome everyone. And it is really a way to rock your story soul. Storytellers Guild of Houston.
And our guest tonight, Ernie, is a longtime member of the Storytellers Guild.
And we want him to come back. We miss him.
Yeah. Night meetings get me.
Yeah, he's a pastor, so he has meetings in the evening. Yeah. The thing I would say about the Storytellers Guild is it's a relaxed and friendly atmosphere.
It really
and
is.
It's a great place to come and just test out your stories with a small, supportive group of people.
Right, and it isn't just for people who want to tell stories. It's also for people who want to listen to them and really learn that art skill set, that beautiful art skill set. But check them out at www.houstonstorytellers.org for all the fun happenings. And you also want to make sure that you follow us on So What's Your Story Facebook, where you're going to learn an awful lot about upcoming guests and story trivia. And it also gives you a chance to send in your suggestions and let us know what you think, and make, for God's sake, sure that you like us when you leave.
Sounds good. And Hank's being a little modest here, so I'm going to speak up. If you go to the Storytellers Guild, you'll be around people like Hank and Ernie.
Right, people who are usually drunk and totally intoxicated, who think they can tell a story, try real hard, and then listen to those who really can. That's pretty much what you're right into.
But seriously, Hank is an expert on storytelling. He's written a book on it, and Ernie he's one of the only people I know who gets paid to tell stories, that he tells stories for a living.
Oh, my gosh.
And he does a great job. Well, it's hard to believe, but Hank and Ernie and Nicole and Alondra, we're just about out of time. We'd like to thank our guest, Ernie, for sharing his stories and his thoughts with us tonight, for reminding us that by studying parables, our lives can become parables, for reminding us that getting lost ain't so bad if you have a community that cares about you and you know they'll come and find you. And also for reminding us that if we do find a lost coin, we don't have to use it to make ourselves rich. We can use it to buy someone else a cup of coffee. And that's not a bad idea, because it builds the community that one day might just buy us a cup of coffee when we need it. Thank you, Ernie.
That's how it works. Thank you.
And to our supportive listeners out there, remember, it only takes 90.1 seconds to call 713-526-5738 with your donation so that we can keep the stories coming on KPFT. Scooter is up next with The Inner Side. Make 90.1 a part of every day, and while you're driving home, turning in for the night, or just chilling, join us every Thursday at 10 p.m. for So What's Your Story? And ease into the weekend right. Keep loving a great story, and we'll keep bringing them to you. Be good to each other. Till next week, Hank, Greg, Mary, Nicole, Alondra, Ernie, and I remind you that it's never too late to live happily ever after. Peace.
Is a national service company specializing in sales, retail, and management career fairs, and has more than a decade of experience in connecting job seekers with industry-leading companies that are currently hiring. HireLive is coming to Houston with their Meet with Hiring Managers event on Tuesday, October 11th from 9 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. over at the JW Marriott Houston, located at 5150 Westheimer Road. Remember to bring 10 to 15 resumes and dress business professional. For more information on the event, go to hirelive.org. This is 90.1 KPFT Houston.
And it is indeed KPFT Houston 90.1. We're in Fun Drive. My name is Scooter. Give us a call. 713-526-573. I'm not going to beat up on y'all. I'm going to beat up on y'all. 3526573. I'm not going to beat up on y'all. 3, I'm not going to beat up on y'all.